from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Ozzie Guillen.
That's a White Sox baseball.
White Sox pre and post analyst for NBC Sports Chicago.
La Pantera. My main is la Pantera. La Pantera. La Pantera. No. Pantera.
La Pantera.
There we go.
2000 World Series winning manager for the White Sox.
Tying run at second. Two out. Palmeiro over the head of Jenks. Uribe charges, throws. Out! And the White Sox have won the World Series. Juan Uribe with a play, charging it, throwing it, and the White Sox celebrate their first title in 88 years.
No hold bar baseball opinion.
You got to hear here's the truth, a fact, funny, sad, upset, whatever it is. There's nothing, we're not going to lie. We're not going to try to win rating about talking about the ball club. And hey, but what it is, they like it, they do it. They don't like it, play better.
Ozzie Guillen with Mully and Hawk on 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Always a delight to talk to Ozzie Guillen, and he joins us now in the Arturo Tire Hotline. Arturo, your hometown tire, Arturo.com. And Ozzie, of course, is brought to us by Four Winds Resort and Casino. Four Winds Casinos in New Buffalo and South Bend, your entertainment escape. Ozzie, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, guys. Always listening to you guys. Doing well. Doing my job, picking my kid, my grandkid to take it to the school. Nothing better than that.
Nothing better than that. Beats watching the White Sox these days.
Oh, boy.
Oh, my God. People got choices. I don't. People have choices, you know. Yeah, we have to do it. And, you know, I just, you're learning. You're learning from the process. You're in the broadcast, and I watch every detail. I had to watch every detail to see myself and Chuck, we just watching like a hog, like a scout, what they're going to need. I put notes in my notebook, and Chuck asked me questions, and I ask him questions. So many things got involved. I love when Frank is in town, or Posehnik, or Gordon, because all of a sudden that conversation between the game, it's more fun or more right on the money. But boy, God, you know, I mean, yesterday you see Jonathan throw the ball well, and you know, I mean, they want to take him out. 91 pitches. I was against that. I was against that just because I say, let it suffer, let it go through that inning, don't let anybody out. Let them to the score for his own runs. And look at this, second pitch home run. I know how Jonathan feel. I know for a fact how Sizemore feel, because one of the worst feelings is when you go to talk to your pitcher or you go to take him out, and the first second pitch, everything going wrong. I know how you feel, like, my gosh, I lifted in, or I made the right move, it's a bad pitch, but it's not easy, guys.
Yeah, no, it's not easy, Ozzie. And I got to tell you, I got triggered yesterday because we were playing the cuts from Chris Getz, and I guess he talked Monday before the game, and he said that he wouldn't have been surprised had you told him before the season that they were going to lose whatever it was, 107 to 110 games, but that they're this bad. Yeah, he is kind of surprised by it. And, you know, the problem with him saying that is that the chairman had told everyone that he was hired because he was going to be the guy that could bring the White Sox back to respectability fastest. They didn't open up the job. They didn't bring in people from the outside. They just hired a guy that was already there, and Jerry claimed it was because he was going to make them more competitive. And then the guy talks at the end of the year and says, well, I wouldn't be surprised if we lost 110 games. So that just is so disingenuous, and it made the earlier statement appear to be the outright lie that it was. And that just set me off yesterday, and I've been trying to calm down when thinking about the White Sox ever since, but I don't know that I should calm down. I just think that this whole thing has been a premeditated issue that everybody knew, and that all they cared about was trimming some payroll, and they could care less about the product they're putting on the field or what the fans go through having to show up because, of course, their pockets are lined by whatever deal they made when they built the stadium.
Okay, I don't disagree with you. I was shocked. I was hurt. It seemed like, oh, my God. Because, you know, funny thing about this, they always, the biggest mistake they make, they say they, because this thing has been doing for a little while, when they only count with Pantera, Bennett, and Moncada. They only count with those three guys. Those three guys went south in a hurry. You know what I mean? When you build the team, you build a team, oh, we're going to build speed, power, pitching. You got a different way. Look at the Guardians. You know, they're hitting. They got three or four guys they can hit. The rest of the guy can catch the ball. The rest of the guy can put the ball in place. The starting rotation is not that wow, but something not too many people had, a great bullpen. Okay, you have to build the team. Okay, we're going to build, we're going to win this about the bullpen. All right. You're going to win this about power, everybody. Okay, they're confused. They don't know exactly what they are right now. That's what I think. I played with Tampa Bay back in the bad days there, and they was confused. They bring veteran players. A week later, they're a bunch of kids. That week later, they're a bunch of leftovers. You know, they're like, okay, wait a minute. Then finally, they say, you know what? Just rip this thing on, start over, and look at the job they're doing. And I think they have been lucky what they do, but whatever they did, it was working for them. And right now, I'm very confused. I'm telling you right now, look at it. I'm not seeing why they have to play Vargas when you have Ramos at third base right now. Mm. Okay? I don't know why. I think they should let Ramos to development and to see what he can do for the future of the White Sox. I don't think Vargas is going to be everyday third baseman. Sorry. In the winning thing, I don't think it will be easy. Be a good piece for the team? Yes, of course. You got to be a good piece. You play outfield, play a little bit at shortstop, play a little bit at third base, a little bit at first base, a lot of things. But I, when I see from Ramos, I think he earned and he should get a shot to play every day for the rest of the season to see what they can bring with his key. I say this not because the type of days he have last couple of days. Nope. I say that because from the first day, a few months ago, when they call him up, I see a lot of good signs about the team. They're sending down, and they bring it up. A couple of days, it was in the bench for 4 days. And I like to see this kid really get the opportunity to see what he can do for the White Sox.
Save the date, Monday, September 30th, for a special fundraising event benefiting Rincon Family Services. Ozzie Guillen, our guest right now, he'll be part of the event to raise funds for mental health, bringing awareness and inspiring others at Cog Hill Golf and Country Club, og13.org/golf. So, Ozzie, based on everything you just said, based on everything we heard earlier this week from Chris Getz, what's the right amount of confidence to have in him heading into an off season that is as important as this one is? How much confidence do you have in Chris Getz to do the right things and make the right calls?
I don't know. I'd be very surprised that happening, but I don't see it. A great job. Look at these guys was doing it. One thing. Second, we're not going to have the money to build a ball club. It's a free agency spot. I don't see the young players be in the spot like, okay, now we have opportunity to do this. No, I don't see that, nothing yet. I think Chris Getz got to go out there with his people, don't make any comments, say, listen, we have to do something different. We have to start from scratch. And that's what I like to hear, not just me, everybody, because, like, every year we have hope and hope. Yeah, okay, we're going to be a team, guys. We're going to lose 100 games. Oh, my God, really? But they lose 150. Well, I thought we were going to lose 100, but not 150. When the product is on the field yesterday, they had six guys, the first six hitter. You know what I mean? They're not Hall of Famers. They're not wow. But they have experience in the big league. They have more than 500 at-bats, 600 at-bats. And I don't see why they're not producing. Okay? The rest of the three kids out there, I don't want to call them big league players yet. But they got to start from scratch and let people know what's going on. That's what we're going to do. I'd rather, you know what? I said that last week, guys, to you guys. I'd rather see nine kids on the field, suffering, getting behind kick, and build the ball club for the future from that. I don't want to build like the leftover for another team come out. They are my friend. It was his dad played with me in Kansas City. Come out, you know what I mean? People's favor. I remember right now, I swear to God, you asked me, which bullpen guys, like yesterday, some kid was pitching. I asked Chuck, I said, in the middle, they say, who is that? This is something you have to be with the same group of kids, make it suffer, move on, and take the risk. Besides the picking people for like national, the guys is, you know what I mean? Who is that? Somebody got relieved from Mexico City. Oh, let's get this guy. You know what I mean? I don't think that's the right way. Just deal one package, stay with that package, and hopefully for the best. And that's how you build winners. That's how you build a guy play together. And because they have to start from scratch. They can be play around with people. They can even be play around with themselves. Because when you lie, you can lie to people. But when you lie to yourself, that's what everything going wrong. You can sit and look at the mirror and say, I do the right thing. I lied to them. Well, I lied to myself. And I think that's the way they got to start over next year, right from the beginning. All those kids they got in the minor league, move it up. And, you know, this kid picked for Iriarte. Good arm. I think it's going to be a pretty good one. I asked them, can they give me permission to manage in Venezuela? They said, no, they'd rather send him to Arizona. Play with kids. He want to play with kids in Arizona. If you put in Venezuela, when people name you mom every two pitch, or the people booing you, and the people, you create a guy like, uh-oh, wait a minute. I go back to AA, look at what I just pitched there. And I say, just to create him a little, how to expect to be in the big league level. Why you go to Arizona to come on by ranch? What are you going to do there? Play with kids? You guys didn't even know how to play the game yet? And it's something they have to start moving up to baseball, not numbers, no thought, no opinions. Just put it, go there and play baseball. And that's what the White Sox need, man. I'm telling you, start from the scratch, take a risk with the kids, and move on, because picking people here and there, I don't think they're going to make it.
Great stuff. Now it's time for Ozzie's Outlook, brought to you by Four Winds Resort and Casino. And I'm curious, Ozzie, what do you think? Will the Cubs win yet again in L.A.? They won the first two games of that series. And what do you think of the Sox?
Wow. Sweep the Dodgers is going to be hard. I hope they do. But I'm going to take the Dodgers today and the White Sox. I wish I could take the White Sox every day. If I was betting man, I'd be broke. Or I'd be rich. I'd be gay. I'd be bet against them every opportunity I can. I'm going to take Dodgers and the Guardians.
Great stuff, Ozzie. Thank you, buddy. Great catching up.
Thanks, Oz.
Hey, keep teaching me, guys. Keep teaching me. I take it tough for you guys all the time.
Thanks a lot.
He's the best.
Take care.
Ozzie Guillen. Always fun to talk to Ozzie.
Yeah. Tough sledding ahead.
Yeah.
Tough days for the White Sox.
Tough to hear.
Tough to
hear a guy tell you that's the cards that have been dealt. That's it.
I think he's right.
Chris Getz, those are the cards. Oh.
Heading in the offseason, just bottom out. Yeah. Be honest about it. Be as transparent as possible, and everyone will at least respect you. They might not agree with you, but they will at least respect you. Mention the Cubs.
You like the sweep today?
I think that it's possible. Exciting to consider.
Yeah.
They are now
7 runs.
They are now 4 out with 17 to go. It's unlikely. It's improbable. Right. It's all of those things. But they have given you a little glimmer of hope that didn't exist when they arrived in LA. They go today, Jordan Wicks, Bobby Miller. I don't know what to expect from Jordan Wicks because we just haven't seen enough of him this year, but he's filling in for Justin Steele, who's out.
Yes.
The Cubs have put themselves in a position to make today interesting, to make tomorrow interesting, to make the rest of the season interesting. Last night was PCA day. It was the PCA game. It was PC amazing is what it was. Robbing Max Muncy. As if it was a walk-off. They were celebrated after he robbed the home run. 6-3 victory. It would have been 6-5 after that. Fun times.
The thing about that is, like, he ran to the wall and just waited for the ball. And, like, he got there so fast. He was just waiting for that when he went up and got it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It wasn't like a guy running and trying to time anything. He had to time it after he got there. I mean, it was like he got there so fast.
He made 3 catches last night that ordinary center fielders don't make.
Yeah.
And I think on 2 of them, the metrics measured that he covered 106 feet on one, 107 on another. Think about that. You're going that fast, that far, and then you have to time it right. On one, he overran the ball. And then he almost slid into Bellinger, and he caught it behind his back almost. It looked like he was trying to increase the degree of difficulty, but he actually just maybe was going too fast and misjudged it a little bit. He readjusted, and he caught it, and then the best part was the catch. The second best part was the celebration. The way that he reacts to these catches is the way you're feeling when you're watching at home. Like, oh, my gosh, I'm so excited. And he gets pumped, and I think it's contagious. He even had Craig Counsell excited after the game.
I just wonder if I wonder how the Dodgers are taking this. I mean, this is unexpected for them, right? That I don't think they
hold on. Let me do this.
Oh, you're shrugging.
It's there's nothing audible about a shrug. The Dodgers don't care.
Curious. I'm just curious what they think about what they're seeing.
I don't think they're focusing on the Cubs. I think they're focusing on the calendar. To them, they want to get their pitching healthy.
They're just
ripping days off September, okay. Getting ready for October. They know that's how they're going to be evaluated. Dave Roberts is Mr. Regular Season.
I mean, you know, they got their rear ends kicked in the first game, 10 runs. And then yesterday, they must have felt like they were cruising, and then all of a sudden the 5-run eighth. I'm just saying, I just been curious if they've noticed that they're having a very bad series.
I don't think they have.
Okay.
And I really think that it's sort of blasé.
All right.
They are,
it's that time in the year where you're the Dodgers.
They're the Dodgers. Okay. They are where they are in the standings.
Well, let's hope that continues then.
They've got to get Kershaw back. They've got to get other pitchers healthy. They're going to continue to ride Kopech at the back end of that bullpen, which sounds crazy. But I think they figure that this is going to happen, and they have Ohtani. There's more suspense surrounding the tip of the cap. That was great with Ohtani and
Imanaga. Would you do that tonight if you were pitching?
To Ohtani? No.
Well, give him the tip.
No. No, you do that because it's one countryman saluting another.
No. It's just a nice little greeting
I don't think I would do that. The big suspense in L.A. is whether or not Ohtani will get to 50-50. Thank you. Don't tip your cap to me now every time.
I'm gonna.
It's a nice hat.
Every time you look over here, I'm going to tip
that,
my cap.
It's not that nice. It's a nice Expos hat.
But I have an Expos hat because it is black and white, and it's a defunct franchise. I used to wear a hat like this from another defunct franchise.
But Sox are not defunct. They're just defective.
They're defunct. Yeah. Who's the owner? I just give you a tip of the cap. I love that moment, and I thought it was super cool, and I wonder if Ohtani felt like too respected and embarrassed then to do anything.
Ohtani almost hit the home run.
I know, but he didn't.
I know. He did not homer last night. And I think...
You sound sad about that.
No, not at all. I'm just trying to figure out how they could get through tonight, because if they sweep the Dodgers, what that does for the Cubs psychologically, I know mathematically, we get it, Texters. It's a lot.
Yes.
It's really five games because they lose the tiebreaker, but we can, one day at a time. They're four back with 17 to play.
Yeah, you need to be three back with 17 to play. And you need to be two back that would be three with the tiebreaker.
Okay, 17 games left. Basically an NFL season left. What are the Cubs?
The Cubs are not going to be playing months and months from now. What will they do 17, over the last 17?
Yes, okay. 13-4. If they go 13-4, is that enough? If they go 13-4, that's 88 victories, I think.
Yeah, that might be enough.
I don't know if it is.
It might be enough.
I don't know that it would. I don't think it would be. Would that be enough? And Cub fans, 312-644-6767.
It's about as much as you can hope for, don't you think?
Yes, 13-4.
Yeah, I don't know that you can really hope for much more than that, frankly.
Well, if they...
I mean, if they need to be, like, if they need to be significantly better than that, then they're not going to do it.
They can't realistically expect to be better than 13-4. Yeah. 13-4 would be extraordinary.
It'd be phenomenal.
I also wonder if we need to touch on this again, the report that there is internal friction in the Cubs front office, according to USA Today. What might be causing that? What might be the root of that? And is that anything to be concerned about? Is that anything that's going to make news?
Hmm.
Jed Hoyer's coming back, according to Bob Nightingale. No surprise there.
No.
But what's the friction about?
That's a good question.
Hey, Craig, you got to get rid of Hector Neris. We're taking him out of your bullpen. Hey, Craig. Craig Smiley's going on waivers. He might not, or Drew Smiley's going on waivers.
That's not what Dustin thinks. 312-644-6767. Mully and Haw on the score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Shohei Ohtani drives one in the air, deep right center field, back toward the track, and that ball is going to be a ground rule double. Both Crow Armstrong and Bellinger looked at each other. They thought the other was going to make the play. Or did Crow Armstrong make the catch on that play? Did my eyes deceive me? Let's see what happened. Crow Armstrong went back. Caught that ball, yeah. And I thought it bounced over the fence.
That's what I live for. That gives me joy, and I mean, to do it in spots like that, that's what you go to sleep dreaming about. And I mean, for Porter, you know, coming back after whatever delay just happened, making a pitch, letting us make a play, that's all we can ask for.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, the score. Oh, man.
Quite a night for PCA, the Cubs star in the making.
We lost Frankie Beverly this morning, so now we have another celebrity gone. Always tough to see a great singer-songwriter depart. The earth there, and you heard a little tribute, but yes, PCA, phenomenal, absolutely exceptional. And I mean, he's getting so much better. We don't even talk about his offense. He had another good night offensively.
He drove in two runs.
I know.
And he saved at least two.
And he saved at least two,
so
including the
somebody,
game-winning runs, yes.
What we have seen over the course of this season, and it has been a long season full of ups and downs, and because you're on the outside looking in, probably more downs and ups if you're a Cub fan. But with PCA, they have pulled this off somehow. They have developed a player at the major league level. It wasn't necessarily the way it's always recommended, but they stuck with him. They stuck with him when he was sub 200 hitting, when we started to ask questions about why is he running into every outfielder? Why is he not being more communicative and telling Ian Happ that he's in his space? Ian Happ didn't always look happy about that. So PCA has developed into a player that you can see why he was rated as highly as he was coming into the season in terms of prospects.
Yeah.
He started to fulfill that potential.
It's just a fantastic performance last night, and you're right. He is getting – he has – his last do we call it like 2 months?
Yeah.
Is that kind of –
yes,
I mean, it's just
since
been,
the All-Star break.
It's been strength on strength, right?
July 3rd, July 9th, whatever you want to attach it to, the date, he has been a offensive threat. Not only because he's changed his approach at the plate, there have been some mechanical adjustments that have made an impact, but Molly, he has been himself. He's not trying to be something he's not. We worried about that all the time. Ron Coomer's talked about it in great detail, and yet he's continued to improve, and when he gets on the bases, he is a disruptor. He is the guy that makes things happen. In the field, he's one of the best center fielders in the game right now. A lot to like about PCA, who has now improved his batting average to .243. He's got an OPS of .686. Numbers he can get better, but they are dramatically different than they were in June.
312-644-6767. Paul is in Valpo. Paul's doing some math for himself. Hey, Paul.
Hey, Paul.
I mean, David, you said 13-4. I'm thinking probably 14-3, which I'm not sure how realistic that is. The one thing I will say, though, is you guys brought up a good point about the Dodgers. It just kind of depends on how the Dodgers and the Phillies are going to play coming in here, because Atlanta goes to the Dodgers for four coming up, and the Mets play the Phillies seven times. So if they're looking to battle for home field advantage throughout the playoffs and really have their minds into it, obviously those are the top two teams. But if they're coasting, then that's kind of a problem, because you're going to obviously, I don't think the 14-3 is going to happen, but that would kind of secure it. I think you're going to need a ton of help from the Braves and the Mets, and that's kind of dependent on how these big hitters play the next month, because the Mets have a really tough schedule.
No doubt about it. That's a great call, Paul. I think 14-3 is a lot to ask.
That might be too much to ask. Honestly,
let's look at the schedule, though, Mully. Three against the Rockies in Colorado. After the Dodgers game today, they're off tomorrow. Thank goodness. They need the break. Three at home against the A's. Three at home against the Nationals. Four at home against the Nationals. And then they go to Philadelphia. If they are still within sniffing distance on the 23rd of September and they go to Philadelphia, wow.
Listen.
That would be great.
If you win tonight, you're going to wind up on a 7-game winning streak.
You could, conceivably. It's baseball. You know how that goes.
You can hit on the road. We know we don't have offense problems on the road. You're going to be in the thin air, right?
It makes a difference.
I'm just saying.
Thank goodness for the thin air of Colorado rather than the stiff winds of Wrigley Field.
And we should talk about that.
Yeah, let's do that. Because I think it's a good conversation.
Yes. We've asked about this. We asked about the changing nature of Wrigley, and we talked about what Craig Counsell said.
Voice to it last week.
Yes.
He talked about how it plays small this year. It's anecdotal, but he's not measuring it. But in his mind, his first year on the north side in that dugout, he feels like the wind has been blowing in. It's been more of an advantage for the pitcher.
And if you listen regularly to Ian Happ, you know that he is a very sharp, plugged-in guy that is paying close attention to all these things. Let's hear what he had to say yesterday.
If you look at the park factor just in 2024, I'm pretty sure Wrigley is second worst, only behind Seattle as far as park factor. Bottom five home run ballpark. And we have some lefty power And I don't know if you can split it up right left, but it's always harder for lefties to hit homers in that ballpark, especially when the wind's blowing in, which it has all year.
It's just amazing. The team WRC plus at Wrigley is 93. Away from Wrigley, it's 105. So I always think, okay, if that's the case, how much of it is year to year? We'd obviously need all kinds of park factor data, you know, going back here. But is there any way to build a team that isn't susceptible to some of these wild swings of meteorological fortune?
I mean, you just saw the Yankees come in with three of the most prolific power hitters, you know, two in Judge and Stanton of our generation. And then, you know, Soto has 38 homers this year, plus a guy, Anthony Rizzo, who's a 30-homer-a-year guy playing in New York. And they had zero homers in three games. So did we. But if you were at the ballpark for those 3 days, wind was blowing dead in at 40 miles an hour. Stanton hit one 110 at 25. You can't build a human that hits a baseball harder than that. You can't physically put it together. It was 110.7 at 25. It didn't get out of the ballpark. Judge hit one 107.7 at 26. It's a homer in every single stadium in the big leagues. Barely got to the track.
That's Ian Happ yesterday.
Yeah.
He's exactly right about the Stanton drive. Ron Coomer said 100% Stanton expected that to be a home run. I remember him saying that on the broadcast, 100%, and yet the wind was blowing in. Soto hit three home runs in Chicago on the south side. Then he goes to Wrigley Field, and the wind's blowing in. It played into the pitcher's hands over the weekend, and I think that we're pointing out that it has probably been that way all season long. Doesn't excuse the Cubs' anemic offense when they needed it most, but it does help understand why the ball has not exactly been flying out onto Waveland Avenue at the rate we expect.
Yeah, I just think that traditionally you don't think of it that way, but as we know from, and I guess these numbers probably have grown already, but before they played this 16-run output against the Dodgers, they were averaging 5.02 runs on the road and 4 runs at home. So they scored 2 runs in a 3-game set against the Yankees. They go out to L.A., and you're thinking, oh, gosh, you know, this, you know, what an
the
awful
Dodgers
pair of back-to-back so series. And now they've won one.
Dodgers
so,
are bored.
So they have, at the very least, been .500 over the series against those two opponents.
Yeah, and I think
two most difficult opponents left. But the Dodgers are bored, so it doesn't count.
The Dodgers are bored. Maybe it doesn't count. Maybe the Phillies will be planning for the postseason and resting people. Is Schwarbs hurt? Because he left the game, I think, after a home run.
Yeah.
He might be hurt.
He had his, like, 17th homer leading off
It's unbelievable what he's become. It's unreal what he has become.
But then he got hurt.
Nonetheless, the Phillies and the Dodgers, they're thinking of October even now. If the Cubs were where those two teams were in the standings, we'd be talking about playoff rotation this morning, not about whether or not they can win 13 or 14 of the remaining 17 games. That's going to be a tough thing to pull off. But I think that's why, it was, as we began the show, I talked about almost being sad because this is fun right now. The Cubs only have 17 games left to kind of tease us into thinking, well, are they going to get to the postseason? What you're going to end up feeling, I believe, more likely than not, is a ton of regret at the end of the season, a ton of frustration over what June was, over how disappointing parts of July became. You're going to have a lot of regret because this Cub team is good enough on paper to play in October. And they blew it in not getting off to a better start, or they got off to a good start but not maintaining that. They were a good team in April. They were a great team in August. Something happened in June to make them swoon. What happened? That's the question they're going to be asking all offseason, and it will fall at the feet of Jed Hoyer. He ultimately is responsible. He is coming back. But there is internal friction in the front office, according to Bob Nightingale.
Yeah, and you know, again, if Bob were writing that about the White Sox, you could, you know, take it as gospel truth. I don't know that there is friction in the front office. I'm sure he's heard that. Bob's not making stuff up. I'm not suggesting that. I just don't know exactly what that means. And I think that if you read what he wrote, it means like Jed's still coming back. Nothing's changing, but there's friction.
I think that's understandable.
Yeah.
You know what?
They got to go 13-4 to get in. Of course there's going to be friction.
Because of what happened in June and July.
Exactly.
I would feel worse if the report was Jed Hoyer's coming back and everybody's happy in the Cubs organization in front office because things have gone so well. No, there's going to be friction. There's creative tension. It's okay to disagree. You want that. Dissent is fine as long as it's presented in a professional way. People, reasonable people can disagree all the time. I think Craig Counsell almost welcomes the banter, the disagreement, being challenged on a regular basis.
Yeah, and I don't even know that that's happening. I don't know that he's being challenged on a regular basis or told you've got to do this and you got to do this and you must start this guy or you must play this.
Well, by challenge, I mean just like think about this differently. Would you think about that differently? Would you consider this? Would
I think
you consider
he'd love that?
That?
I think he'd love that. I don't even know. I mean, I don't know what that story means because they're still together. And does that mean more safe for someone in the offseason? Does that mean more ideas thrown around? I think that's a good thing.
What I think it means is that when they traded Hector Neris, it probably required a tough conversation because I think Craig Counsell might have had more confidence in Hector Neris than the front office might have, speculating here, and maybe somebody on his staff was like, what are you doing here?
Well, let me ask you something.
How can you take away my closer?
How much did that have to do with Jed or how much did that have to do with payroll? Because we've talked about it at the time.
Dun, dun, dun. Maybe that's the friction. We've heard a lot about payroll, the CBT, since the beginning of August. Drew Smyly on waivers. If you're the manager fighting for a playoff spot, the final wild card spot that looks like a desperation move, don't you want all hands on deck? You trust veterans.
Well, that's true.
You trust veterans. And you're like, you're worrying about the CBT while I'm trying to catch the Braves?
Right.
Come on now. So I could understand why there's friction. There should be. And everybody's got a job to do.
All right. I just saw Brandon's T-shirt for the first time. Unbelievable. You wear a special kind of guy. He doesn't like morning people or mornings or people.
Well, that would include us.
That's his T-shirt. It's pretty good. All right. We've got Chelly. Chris Chelio is going to join us next. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
Chris Chelios. Up the boards to Chelios with room. He shoots. Score!
BetMGM ambassador. The king of sportsbooks.
Nice play by Chris Chelios.
Hockey Hall of Famer.
Chris Chelios is not human. I'm convinced of it. Not only will he go in the Hall of Fame, I think he should go in the Smithsonian.
Blackhawks legend.
Chelios will add defense, but he'll also add offense to the Hawks.
Steve Smith ahead to Murphy. Nichols at the line. Chelios moving in.
Time Stanley Cup champion.
What a competitor Chris Chelios has been over the years, and he's been a winner every place he's ever been.
Chris Chelios with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Always a delight to talk to our friend Chris Chelios, BetMGM ambassador, and he joins us now. BetMGM is the king of sportsbook. Chris joins us on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, Aturo.com. Hey, Chris, how are you?
I'm great. How are you guys doing?
Doing well.
We're doing well. We're kind of, going over the remnants of what was the Bears' season opener. It was fascinating to watch it and the way they won it and the fact that despite all the evidence to the contrary in the preseason, it was the preseason, and there were struggles for the offense once the real bullets began to fly.
Yeah, I mean, I'm happy they won, obviously, but I think we can all agree. We talked about Caleb Williams saying he wasn't nervous. Well, I hope that's all it was, that he was nervous and he just had the jitters. Just watched him on that first pass when he went back in the pocket and the play wasn't there and just kind of got happy feet. But you know what? Bears D bailed him out. You know, you're going to need that sometimes. Pretty exciting game. Great day. You know, the weather was perfect. but it didn't feel like a satisfying win to me, quite honestly.
Where's your confidence in Caleb right now? Is it wavering? Are you wondering?
Still under investigation. How's that? yeah, I mean, everything was off. His throws, the deep throws weren't close, but you know what? He didn't make any mistakes. No glaring mistakes. No fumbles. No interceptions. And good to play it safe. You know, the game was close. You saw Tennessee's quarterback made that big mistake and cost him the game. So I'll give him credit for that. They didn't play dumb, or Caleb didn't play dumb. And we'll start from there.
Yeah, Brian Callahan, the head coach of Tennessee, said after the game that they'd have been better off just punting on first down after they got the lead because they gave the game away. And frankly, he's right. The block punt for a touchdown, the scoop and score, and then the pick six. It was an insane way to win, and the Bears did just enough to do so.
Yeah, hey, look, Minnesota lost their quarterback. Yeah. Green Bay lost theirs. So far, so good. Things are looking, good for the Bears. But again, it's a little disappointing, and the Boo Birds came out, sometime during the second quarter, I believe it was. But again, it's early. He's a young kid, and you got to hope the offense will get better. They got too many weapons.
Shelly, got to ask you this college football question. So Saturday, for some reason, Alabama is going to Madison. They're going to play the Badgers at Camp Randall. I don't know who scheduled that one, but it is a pretty cool matchup. You interested? You going? How did Alabama end up playing Wisconsin in Madison?
I don't know. I just happened to be free that day. It was either do that or go to the Live tournament out in Bolingbrook to watch Dustin Johnson. But yeah, I mean, they've had two pretty easy games to start out the season with the Badgers, but it's a hard place to play, Wisconsin, Camp Randall. I'm sure you've been there. Yeah. So who knows? They need a, that would help them bolster maybe to put together a good season if they somehow get by them.
Yeah. We were talking about it, earlier in the week that now that Notre Dame lost the way they did, Steve Sarkisian from Texas, after they won at Michigan, he showed them the end of the game and he talked to them about the Notre Dame scenario. So I think that's going on around the country. Everybody kind of trying to make sure they don't fall into that kind of trap and have a bad loss after a win because they didn't take an opponent seriously.
Right, and there's nothing better than watching Michigan get beaten in the big house by Texas. That was a good day for me anyway. So love to see Harbaugh like a deer in the headlights on those sidelines.
Kelly, did you see the social media report or people talking about Jonathan Toews is actually at Burning Man, the music festival in the desert, and he is living his best life. Doesn't look like he's anywhere close to considering a comeback if he were even I wonder if he's ever coming back. But this may suggest that he's not even thinking about hockey this time. Do you expect Jonathan Toews to ever come back to play hockey?
I mean, I honestly hope so. But, we saw him last summer. He came to my son's hockey school, and he really didn't think he was going to come back. And you mentioned the Burning Man, and he's been, he took off for a stint to Costa Rica to learn how to surf with his brother. And he's been all kinds of golf trips. So he's enjoying life, that's for sure, and doing all stuff. But it'd be pretty tough to come back. But even when he did come back for that little stint, he wasn't bad. He still had to lose that weight, and apparently he's lost a lot of weight now. And, he's still young enough, that's for sure. But that just remains to be seen. It's kind of, disappointing the way it went down. But who knows?
He's 36. He's got another decade in him, according to your standards, right?
Hey, it's just a number. That's right.
Man. What do you think? The Cubs got a chance here. They won two games in L.A., we've been trying to do the math to figure out what they'd need to do. Unlikely at this point, but where there is life, there is hope.
I mean, it looks like they're going to take it right down to the wire. Four games back, they got to pass two teams. You beat L.A., maybe again, you get some confidence and you go on a run, but they need to go on a big run. They can't afford to lose any more, back-to-back games anymore. It's just, they've been a 500 team most of the year, not even, but they've been fun to watch at times. They went on all those runs. They got that one stint where they went about 10-2. So you got to hope. You never know. The pitching has been great. It's just a matter of if they can put that streak together.
All right, Chelly, Bears, Texans Sunday night. Who you got?
I'm always going to take the Bears. You know that. Jeez. yeah, I bet with my heart. It's on the road, so that's going to be tougher, I think. So I'm not going to touch that one. How's that? That's not
say, but good stuff. That?
That's clever. All right, Chris. Thanks, buddy.
All right, guys. Take care.
Have a great weekend.
Chris Chelios, BetMGM ambassador. I love Chelly. So funny. Hey, we got Stacy Dales.
Yes.
We get a chance to talk to Stacy.
She was there Sunday.
She was there on Sunday. We'll get her take on what she saw, both in person and then behind the scenes stuff as well. Mully and Haw on the Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.